they will hire us to do a podcast. We basically just, you know, funnel that money right back into the basic costs, which are not that much, $4,000 or $5,000 a year, for all the distribution.
My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
You have tuned into the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report from Lissa Harris of The River and Roger Hennigan-Gilson of The Other Hudson Valley. Go to theotherhudsonvalley.com or therivernewsroom.com for more information and links to the stories included here. This report is a collaboration with several Hudson Valley journalists, airing on WGXC 90.7 FM at midnight, 5, 7, and 9 a.m., and online in the audio archives at WGXC.org. La Voz, a Spanish-language news magazine covering the Hudson Valley, is translating these roundups and co-publishing them on its website in Spanish at lavoz.bard.edu.
In New York State, there are now 52,318 confirmed cases, 7,681 new. Today's most confusing coronavirus news item, speaking to reporters while en route to the Norfolk Naval Station, President Donald Trump floated the idea of a quarantine for New York, New Jersey, and part of Connecticut. Governor Andrew Cuomo went on CNN and called the idea, quote, a declaration of war on states, unquote, adding, quote, I don't think it's plausible. I don't think it is legal. Unquote. In an apparent reversal, Trump later announced on Twitter that he wants the CDC to issue a strong travel advisory for the region. Around 9:30 p.m. on March 28th, they did. Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo announced March 27th that the Rhode Island National Guard will go door-to-door in coastal communities to see if New Yorkers are following quarantine guidelines. The move comes one day after Raimondo announced that all New Yorkers would be required to quarantine for 14 days if arriving in the state. To enforce this, state police will begin to pull over drivers with New York plates and collect destination addresses, phone numbers, and names of family members if the driver reported they were going somewhere in the state. The National Guard will then check these addresses to see if New Yorkers are following the quarantine. The Providence Journal reported late Saturday, March 28th, on the beginnings of the action in Westerly, finding police responding to reports of New Yorkers called in by locals and waving over cars with New York plates on Interstate 95. In an interview with CNN, Cuomo said he thought the move was illegal. Quote, I'm going to sue Rhode Island because that clearly is unconstitutional, unquote, he said. Some lessons from Italy via the Harvard Business Review. Quarantines around hotspots might cause more outbreak spread than they prevent. Quote, the selective approach might have inadvertently facilitated the spread of the virus, unquote, the authors write. Quote, when the decree announcing the closing of northern Italy became public, it touched off a massive exodus to southern Italy, undoubtedly spreading the virus to regions where it had not been present, unquote. We missed this in the Washington Post on March 26, but there's a good column about public health expert who studies exposure advising people not to freak out too much about touching mail, groceries, and packaging. The risk of disease transmission from services is real, but it's much lower than being in close proximity to sick people. And there are some easy things you can do to minimize it, writes Joseph Allen of Harvard's T.H. Chan Public School of Public Health. Quote, if you take basic precautions, including washing your hands frequently, the danger from accepting a package from a delivery driver or takeout from a local restaurant or buying groceries is de minimis. That's a scientific way of saying the risks are small and manageable. What if coronavirus testing was as fast as a home pregnancy test? That might happen soon. Abbott Laboratories has created an FDA-approved COVID-19 test that can give a positive result in 5 minutes and a negative one in fewer than 15, a development that is being hailed as a game-changer for rapid testing. The test is a molecular test, meaning it looks for the active infection and cannot tell whether or not someone has already recovered from COVID-19. The test runs on Abbott's ID Now platform, which can be used in doctors' offices as well as hospitals, and samples are read by a portable machine about the size of a toaster, Vox reports. The company is vowing to start shipping tests to healthcare providers next week and says it can deliver 50,000 tests a day by April 1st. The movement to get plasma treatment to COVID-19 patients using the blood of patients who have recovered is gaining traction, The Atlantic reports. In the article, a Mayo Clinic doctor likens the current state of the research on plasma to craft brewing. What we need, he says, is a big national brewery. We missed this item released in new state guidance on March 27th, a slight relaxation of strict no-visitors policies that have banned partners and doulas from delivery rooms. All hospitals in New York State must allow visiting by one designated support person for each hospitalized child or person giving birth. Announced by New York State on March 28th. The New York presidential primary will be moved from April 28th to June 23rd, the date of congressional and legislative primaries in the state. Cuomo didn't address the issue of village elections in his daily briefing or school elections, but presumably that means the March village elections that have already been postponed until primary day will also be moved to June 23rd, but we'll have to wait and see. The state's due date for personal and corporate tax filing has been moved to July 15th, lining up with a federal tax date postponement. The Wadsworth Lab, run by the State Department of Health, is working with other labs on antibody testing, which would allow people who have recovered from COVID-19 to be screened for immunity. No such test is currently widely available to the public, although residents of Colorado's San Miguel County are currently being screened for immunity under a pilot project developed by the owners of a biomedical company who live in Telluride. Three new test sites for adding large numbers of emergency beds have been identified, and one of them is in our own backyard. The sites are South Beach Psychiatric Center in Staten Island, Westchester Square in the Bronx, and Health Alliance's Mary Avenue Hospital campus in Kingston. Combined, they will add 695 beds to state capacity. Quote, "We're trying to have facilities all around the geographic location that's experiencing the increase," unquote, Andrew Cuomo said. The state has begun taking steps to have facilities entirely devoted to COVID-19 patients and will have at least 600 beds in specialized facilities. South Beach Psychiatric Facility and Westchester Square will both be COVID-19 hospitals, as well as SUNY Downstate in Brooklyn. The 1,000-bed temporary hospital at the Javits Center in New York City is expected to open on March 30th. Empire State Development has approved $7.5 million in funding to 70 nonprofit partners to help with small business and community economic development disaster assistance. There are links on a state news release to lists of the organizations involved. Deaths in New York State due to COVID-19 have risen to 728, with more than 200 since March 27th. In discussing the increasingly dire numbers, Cuomo said, quote, "The longer you are on a ventilator, the less chance you're coming off that ventilator. That has always been true. You're having more and more people now who are on ventilators for a longer and longer period of time, and those are the people we're losing," unquote. The apex of the outbreak in New York is still to come, Cuomo noted, urging New Yorkers to plan ahead. Quote, "Don't be reactive, be proactive. Don't wait to find out what the virus is going to do to you. Anticipate what is going to happen and plan for the step ahead," unquote. We're not sure where Cuomo is getting hours a day to talk to his mother, but good for him. Quote, "Even in a terrible circumstance, if you look hard enough, you can find a few rays of light, and people are doing it, and I think we all should," he said. A general note on New York State data, the numbers we're about to report are changing rapidly. If the numbers in this report don't add up, it may be because local confirmed case counts have not yet been included in the state's numbers, or because a case that was reported to local public health authorities is being officially included in another county's report. In Westchester counties, there are 7,800, Westchester County, there are 7,875 cases confirmed. There are 81 cases per 10,000 residents in Westchester County. 100 New Rochelle residents will quarantine since March 2nd, will be able to leave their homes after the state clarified its quarantine policy. The CDC has two different policies for when a quarantine is over. The sickened person must have developed symptoms at least 7 days ago and been symptom-free for at least 3 days, or the person must receive at least one negative COVID-19 test. A limited number of test kits made New York City switch to the symptoms method, but other parts of the state have stuck with the test policy. The Westchester County Board of Health stated it was afraid of legal repercussions from using the symptoms method when voting down a measure to lift the quarantine earlier this week. Many of the 100 residents have been symptom-free for weeks. A White Plains Catholic school mourned the loss of an alumnus who died March 27th from COVID-19. Archbishop Stepanek High School announced that a student graduated in 2007, making him one of the younger victims of COVID-19. In Rockland County, there are now 1,896 cases. That's 58 per 10,000 residents. The principal of an Ermont yeshiva demanded Rockland County Executive Ed Day apologize for what he said were, quote, slanderous and libelous, unquote, claims that the school had still been in session during the statewide ban. The demand came after Day announced the County Department of Health had not issued fines to the school, Central UTA of Monsey. Ramapo Police Chief Brad Weidel also said officers responding to the school saw only adults wearing personal protective equipment distributing school books and lunches as cars pulled up, which is legal under the ban. The health department issued violations after Day wrote numerous posts on social media saying the school was operating and castigating the morality of the students' parents and the school administration. Putnam County Executive Mary Ellen Odell has called on the state to approve a testing site at the Palladium Center in Carmel. She said the situation was critical as many of the county's 99,000 residents are elderly and there is no centralized testing facility. In Orange County, there are now 1,101 cases, 29 per 10,000 residents. A woman over the age of 50 became the fifth person in the county to die of COVID-19, the county announced March 28th. The county has been releasing town-by-town breakdowns now, newly, of the coronavirus cases. As of the latest update yesterday, the municipality with by far the most confirmed cases was Palm Tree, better known as Curious Joel, with 234 cases among its 26,000 residents, or one out of every 111 people. One out of every 282 people is confirmed to have COVID-19 in New York City. Palm Tree was followed by the city of Newburgh with 62 cases, and Warwick with 60 cases. In Dutchess County, there are now 262 confirmed cases. That is 9 per 10,000 residents. Adams Fair Acre Farms, which has stores in Wappinger Falls, Poughkeepsie, and the town of New Windsor, as well as in Kingston and Ulster County, is opening an hour early at 7 a.m. for senior hour to accommodate the elderly before the general population shops. COVID-19 symptoms are generally more severe and its mortality higher as age increases. Though it can kill the young, a man in his early 30s passed away from the virus March 27th in White Plains. County Executive Mark Molinaro will hold a second live telephone town hall on April 2nd, starting at 5:30 p.m. All residents will receive automated phone calls at their homes and can simply pick up and listen in or ask questions using the menu prompts. The town hall is expected to run until 7 p.m. The Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, an environmental organization founded by the late Pete Seeger, announced it will lay off half its staff to avoid closing after private donations plunged and its revenue sources were cut off. The Sloop Clearwater was dealing with financial issues before the pandemic. In Putnam County, there are now 131 cases confirmed. That's 13 per 10,000 residents. The Village of Cold Springs mayor and town board all voiced support for shutting down short-term rentals in the community because they fear people leaving New York City will spread the coronavirus. Quote, under these circumstances, I'm not comfortable having families move in from New York City or wherever, unquote, Mayor David Morandi said during a March 24th in-person town board meeting. A town board member noted short-term rentals were not listed as a, quote, essential business, unquote, under Governor Cuomo's order. Short-term rentals are restricted by village zoning to certain areas, but the zoning has never been enforced. In Ulster County, there are now 128 cases confirmed. That's 7 per 10,000 residents. Kingston Hospital will more than triple its bed capacity to treat COVID-19 patients in the Mid-Hudson Valley, according to Governor Cuomo and Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan. Health Alliance Hospital's Mary's Avenue campus closed areas of its facility, formerly Benedictine Hospital, after it became part of Health Alliance. These areas are being reopened and retrofitted to accommodate expected patients. Health Alliance currently has roughly 100 beds, mostly in its second Kingston facility, but the Mary's Avenue campus is expected to hold 235 beds. A, quote, good number, unquote, of rooms will be available within 2 weeks, unquote, Ryan, the executive of Ulster County, said. Quote, we know that we have a wave coming and we are pushing hard to get ahead of that wave, unquote, he said in a press release. Many county grocery stores have designated the first hour of the day for shoppers more susceptible to the coronavirus. The first opening hour at Emmanuel's Market, Sunflower Natural Foods, and Tops is dedicated to seniors, while the first hour at Hannaford's, Price Chopper, and Mother's Earth Storehouse are reserved for seniors and people with compromised immune systems, according to the Daily Freeman. In Sullivan County, there are now 72 cases confirmed. That's 10 per 10,000 residents. An email to Sullivan County Public Health Services asking why the county was advising people erroneously of a travel ban and also directing callers to their county health info line to the wrong New York State coronavirus hotline got a helpful reply by the county's communication director, former Sullivan County Democrat reporter Dan Hust. Quote, "You spotted inaccurate information on both our website and phone line. I have fixed the travel ban info based on a misunderstanding of the New York State on-pause regulations. I will shortly be following up with our team to get the phone message changed. I don't have direct access to it," unquote, Host wrote. Quote, "These were honest mistakes made in a rush of getting constantly evolving information to people," unquote. Honestly, we can relate. In Columbia County, there are now 22 cases confirmed. That's 4 per 10,000 residents. The county health department announced a death from COVID-19. The individual was elderly and other health issues contributed to their death. It was not clear if the announcement was referring to a man who died from suspected COVID-19 on March 23rd or if it was the county's second death. Four people are hospitalized with the virus, according to Columbia County officials. In Delaware County, there are 8 cases confirmed. That's 2 per 10,000 residents. Delaware County announced a new case March 28th, bringing its total then to 7. In its daily announcements, Delaware County is not including 3 cases that were, quote, transferred to the county where the individuals are actually residing, unquote. On March 27th, Delaware County announced that the first case in the county, which was reported on March 12th, has recovered and is no longer isolated. Many COVID-19 patients in New Rochelle who were sickened early in the outbreak have since recovered and have been unable until March 28th to be cleared for release from isolation because they could not meet a requirement for testing-based clearance. Asked by an email how Delaware County was determining when patients should be released, Public Health Services Director Amanda Walsh said that the county was relying on State Department of Health advice that recommends counties use the CDC's non-test-based strategy guidance, unquote, which requires at least 3 days since resolution of fever without use of fever-reducing medication, improvement in respiratory symptoms, and at least 7 days since the onset of symptoms. Quote, "We are waiting for updated guidance from New York State Department of Health on release from isolation if they are limited or no availability to retest," unquote, Walsh wrote. In Greene County, there are now 7 cases confirmed. That is 1 case per 10,000 residents. Greene County Public Health Department has cleared 3 people who tested positive for COVID-19 and given them discharge status. They did not define what that meant. Schoharie County has 5 cases confirmed, 2 per 10,000 residents. The Schoharie County Department of Public Health is not tolerating any gossip on its Facebook page about whether the county's 5 cases are due to panic flights from New York City. Quote, "A side note, the 5 cases that we have are not a direct result of people from the city coming into the region in an attempt to escape the outbreak in the New York City metro region. Please refrain from negative speculation of that kind," unquote, read a March 28th post announcing the county's 2 new cases. Quote, "P.S., I will be deleting that kind of negativity," unquote. This has been the Daily Coronavirus Report for the Catskills and the Hudson Valley. From Lissa Harris of The River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of The Other Hudson Valley, go to therivernewsroom.com or theotherhudsonvalley.com for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXE is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Kurt of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
Throughout the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak throughout the Hudson Valley, WGXC is doing everything we can to provide you with information about what's going on, new regulations, and how you can help. Another way you can help is that the American Red Cross is warning of a blood shortage. Quote, the organization says fear of spreading the coronavirus prompted the cancellation of blood drives around the country, bringing the blood supply to dangerously low levels. The Red Cross is urging those who can to donate blood and have provided a list of the precautions the Red Cross is taking to keep donors healthy at redcrossblood.org. You can find where to donate at redcrossblood.org.
WGXC is trying to show you how you can help during the COVID-19 crisis locally and the outbreak. WGXC could use more reporters to gather information about local ways that people can help, ways that people can volunteer to help kids that need food or help seniors and shut-ins. Claverack Library will be collecting food items for the Mellonville Philmont Food Pantry at the 9H entrance. You can place food in the blue bucket by the door or drop off food at the Mellonville Philmont Food Pantry. They are looking for applesauce, canned beans, whole grain cereal, canned fish, canned meat, canned vegetables, pasta sauce, crackers, dried herbs and spices, fruit canned and dried, granola bars, instant mashed potatoes, meals in a box, pancake mix, pasta, peanut butter, rice, shelf-stable and powdered milk, and soup, stew, and chili. Go to the Claverack Library's website or the Mellonville Philmont Food Pantry for more information. This has been How You Can Help. Tune in to WGXC 90.7 to hear how you can help during the COVID-19 crisis. Tune in to the daily Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report from the River Newsroom from Lissa Harris of the River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of the Other Hudson Valley website. You can go to the rivernewsroom.com and the otherhudsonvalley.com websites for more information. Tune in to the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report every night at midnight at WGXC, also at 5 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m. for all the latest reports about COVID-19 regulations, new laws, new mandates. There will be interviews with political officials and more on the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report, weekdays on WGXC 90.7 FM.
You have tuned into the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report from Lissa Harris of the River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of the Other Hudson Valley. Go to theotherhudsonvalley.com or therivernewsroom.com for more information and links to the stories included here. This report is a collaboration with several Hudson Valley journalists, airing on WGXC 90.7 FM. At midnight, 5, 7, and 9 a.m., and online in the audio archives at WGXC.org. La Voz, a Spanish-language news magazine covering the Hudson Valley, is translating these roundups and co-publishing them on its website in Spanish at lavoz.bard.edu.
In New York State, there are now 52,318 confirmed cases, 7,681 new. Today's most confusing coronavirus news item, speaking to reporters while en route to the Norfolk Naval Station, President Donald Trump floated the idea of a quarantine for New York, New Jersey, and part of Connecticut. Governor Andrew Cuomo went on CNN and called the idea, quote, a declaration of war on states, unquote, adding, quote, I don't think it's plausible. I don't think it is legal, unquote. In an apparent reversal, Trump later announced on Twitter that he wants the CDC to issue a strong travel advisory for the region. Around 9:30 p.m. on March 28th, they did. Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo announced March 27th that the Rhode Island National Guard will go door-to-door in coastal communities to see if New Yorkers are following quarantine guidelines. The move comes one day after Raimondo announced that all New Yorkers would be required to quarantine for 14 days if arriving in the state. To enforce this, state police will begin to pull over drivers with New York plates and collect destination addresses, phone numbers, and names of family members if the driver reported they were going somewhere in the state. The National Guard will then check these addresses to see if New Yorkers are following the quarantine. The Providence Journal reported late Saturday, March 28th, on the beginnings of the action in Westerly, finding police responding to reports of New Yorkers called in by locals and waving over cars with New York plates on Interstate 95. In an interview with CNN, Cuomo said he thought the move was illegal. Quote, I'm going to sue Rhode Island because that clearly is unconstitutional, unquote, he said. Some lessons from Italy via the Harvard Business Review. Quarantines around hotspots might cause more outbreak spread than they prevent. Quote, the selective approach might have inadvertently facilitated the spread of the virus, unquote, the authors write. Quote, when the decree announcing the closing of northern Italy became public, it touched off a massive exodus to southern Italy, undoubtedly spreading the virus to regions where it had not been present, unquote. We missed this in the Washington Post on March 26, but there's a good column about public health expert who studies exposure advising people not to freak out too much about touching mail, groceries, and packaging. The risk of disease transmission from services is real, but it's much lower than being in close proximity to sick people. And there are some easy things you can do to minimize it, writes Joseph Allen of Harvard's T.H. Chan Public School of Public Health. Quote, if you take basic precautions, including washing your hands frequently, the danger from accepting a package from a delivery driver or takeout from a local restaurant or buying groceries is de minimis. That's a scientific way of saying the risks are small and manageable. What if coronavirus testing was as fast as a home pregnancy test? That might happen soon. Abbott Laboratories has created an FDA-approved COVID-19 test that can give a positive result in 5 minutes and a negative one in fewer than 15, a development that is being hailed as a game-changer for rapid testing. The test is a molecular test, meaning it looks for the active infection and cannot tell whether or not someone has already recovered from COVID-19. Test runs on Abbott's ID Now platform, which can be used in doctors' offices as well as hospitals, and samples are read by a portable machine about the size of a toaster, Vox reports. The company is vowing to start shipping tests to healthcare providers next week and says it can deliver 50,000 tests a day by April 1st. The movement to get plasma treatment to COVID-19 patients using the blood of patients who have recovered is gaining traction, The Atlantic reports. In the article, a Mayo Clinic doctor likens the current state of the research on plasma to craft brewing. What we need, he says, is a big national brewery. We missed this item released in new state guidance on March 27th, a slight relaxation of strict no-visitors policies that have banned partners and doulas from delivery rooms. All hospitals in New York State must allow visiting by one designated support person for each hospitalized child or person giving birth. Announced by New York State on March 28th. The New York presidential primary will be moved from April 28th to June 23rd, the date of congressional and legislative primaries in the state. Cuomo didn't address the issue of village elections in his daily briefing or school elections, but presumably that means the March village elections that have already been postponed until primary day will also be moved to June 23rd, but we'll have to wait and see. The state's due date for personal and corporate tax filing has been moved to July 15th, lining up with a federal tax date postponement. The Wadsworth Lab, run by the State Department of Health, is working with other labs on antibody testing, which would allow people who have recovered from COVID-19 to be screened for immunity. No such test is currently widely available to the public, although residents of Colorado's San Miguel County are currently being screened for immunity under a pilot project developed by the owners of a biomedical company who live in Telluride. Three new test sites for adding large numbers of emergency beds have been identified, and one of them is in our own backyard. The sites are South Beach Psychiatric Center in Staten Island, Westchester Square in the Bronx, and Health Alliance's Mary Avenue Hospital campus in Kingston. Combined, they will add 695 beds to state capacity. Quote, we're trying to have facilities all around the geographic location that's experiencing the increase, unquote, Andrew Cuomo said. The state has begun taking steps to have facilities entirely devoted to COVID-19 patients and will have at least 600 beds in specialized facilities. South Beach Psychiatric Facility and Westchester Square will both be COVID-19 hospitals, as well as SUNY Downstate in Brooklyn. The 1,000-bed temporary hospital at the Javits Center in New York City is expected to open on March 30th. Empire State Development has approved $7.5 million in funding to 70 nonprofit partners to help with small business and community economic development disaster assistance. There are links on a state news release to lists of the organizations involved. Deaths in New York State due to COVID-19 have risen to 728, with more than 200 since March 27th. In discussing the increasingly dire numbers, Cuomo said, quote, the longer you are on a ventilator, the less chance you're coming off that ventilator. That has always been true. You're having more and more people now who are on ventilators for a longer and longer period of time, and those are the people we're losing, unquote. The apex of the outbreak in New York is still to come, Cuomo noted, urging New Yorkers to plan ahead. Quote, don't be reactive, be proactive. Don't wait to find out what the virus is going to do to you. Anticipate what is going to happen and plan for the step ahead, unquote. We're not sure where Cuomo is getting hours a day to talk to his mother, but good for him. Quote, even in a terrible circumstance, if you look hard enough, you can find a few rays of light, and people are doing it, and I think we all should, he said. A general note on New York State data. The numbers we're about to report are changing rapidly. If the numbers in this report don't add up, it may be because local confirmed case counts have not yet been included in the state's numbers, or because a case that was reported to local public health authorities is being officially included in another county's report. In Westchester counties, there are 7,800 Westchester County, there are 7,875 cases confirmed. There are 81 cases per 10,000 residents in Westchester County. 100 New Rochelle residents will quarantine since March 2nd, will be able to leave their homes after the state clarified its quarantine policy. The CDC has two different policies for when a quarantine is over. The sickened person must have developed symptoms at least 7 days ago and been symptom-free for at least 3 days, or the person must receive at least one negative COVID-19 test. A limited number of test kits made New York City switch to the symptoms method, but other parts of the state have stuck with the test policy. The Westchester County Board of Health stated it was afraid of legal repercussions from using the symptoms method when voting down a measure to lift the quarantine earlier this week. Many of the 100 residents have been symptom-free for weeks. A White Plains Catholic school mourned the loss of an alumnus who died March 27th from COVID-19. Archbishop Stepanek High School announced that a student graduated in 2007, making him one of the younger victims of COVID-19. In Rockland County, there are now 1,896 cases. That's 58 per 10,000 residents. The principal of an Ermont yeshiva demanded Rockland County Executive Ed Day apologize for what he said were, quote, slanderous and libelous, unquote, claims that the school had still been in session during the statewide ban. The demand came after Day announced the County Department of Health had not issued fines to the school, Central UTA of Monsey. Ramapo Police Chief Brad Weidel also said officers responding to the school saw only adults wearing personal protective equipment distributing school books and lunches as cars pulled up, which is legal under the ban. The health department issued violations after Day wrote numerous posts on social media saying the school was operating and castigating the morality of the students' parents and the school administration. Putnam County Executive Mary Ellen Odell has called on the state to approve a testing site at the Palladium Center in Carmel. She said the situation was critical as many of the county's 99,000 residents are elderly and there is no centralized testing facility. In Orange County, there are now 1,101 cases, 29 per 10,000 residents. A woman over the age of 50 became the fifth person in the county to die of COVID-19, the county announced March 28th. The county has been releasing town-by-town breakdowns now, newly, of the coronavirus cases. As of the latest update yesterday, the municipality with by far the most confirmed cases was Palm Tree, better known as Curious Joel, with 234 cases among its 26,000 residents, or one out of every 111 people. One out of every 282 people is confirmed to have COVID-19 in New York City. Palm Tree was followed by the city of Newburgh with 62 cases, and Warwick with 60 cases. In Dutchess County, there are now 262 confirmed cases. That is 9 per 10,000 residents. Adams Fair Acre Farms, which has stores in Wappinger Falls, Poughkeepsie, and the town of New Windsor, as well as in Kingston and Ulster County, is opening an hour early at 7 a.m. for senior hour to accommodate the elderly before the general population shops. COVID-19 symptoms are generally more severe and its mortality higher as age increases, though it can kill the young. A man in his early 30s passed away from the virus March 27th in White Plains. County Executive Mark Molinaro will hold a second live telephone town hall on April 2nd, starting at 5:30 p.m. All residents will receive automated phone calls at their homes and can simply pick up and listen in or ask questions using the menu prompts. The town hall is expected to run until 7 p.m. The Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, an environmental organization founded by the late Pete Seeger, announced it will lay off half its staff to avoid closing after private donations plunged and its revenue sources were cut off. The Sloop Clearwater was dealing with financial issues before the pandemic. In Putnam County, there are now 131 cases confirmed. That's 13 per 10,000 residents. The Village of Cold Springs mayor and town board all voiced support for shutting down short-term rentals in the community because they fear people leaving New York City will spread the coronavirus. Quote, "Under these circumstances, I'm not comfortable having families move in from New York City or wherever," unquote, Mayor David Morandi said during a March 24th in-person town board meeting. The town board member noted short-term rentals were not listed as a, quote, "essential business," unquote, under Governor Cuomo's order. Short-term rentals are restricted by village zoning to certain areas, but the zoning has never been enforced. In Ulster County, there are now 128 cases confirmed. That's 7 per 10,000 residents. Kingston Hospital will more than triple its bed capacity to treat COVID-19 patients in the Mid-Hudson Valley, according to Governor Cuomo and Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan. Health Alliance Hospital's Mary's Avenue campus closed areas of its facility, formerly Benedictine Hospital, after it became part of Health Alliance. These areas are being reopened and retrofitted to accommodate expected patients. Health Alliance currently has roughly 100 beds, mostly in its second Kingston facility. But the Mary's Avenue campus is expected to hold 235 beds. A, quote, "good number," unquote, of rooms will be available within 2 weeks, unquote. Ryan, the executive of Ulster County, said, quote, "we know that we have a wave coming and we are pushing hard to get ahead of that wave," unquote, he said in a press release. Many county grocery stores have designated the first hour of the day for shoppers more susceptible to the coronavirus. The first opening hour at Emmanuel's Market, Sunflower Natural Foods, and Tops is dedicated to seniors, while the first hour at Hannaford's, Price Chopper, and Mother's Earth Storehouse are reserved for seniors and people with compromised immune systems, according to the Daily Freeman. In Sullivan County, there are now 72 cases confirmed. That's 10 per 10,000 residents. An email to Sullivan County Public Health Services asking why the county was advising people erroneously of a travel ban and also directing callers to their county health info line to the wrong New York State coronavirus hotline got a helpful reply by the county's communication director, former Sullivan County Democrat reporter Dan Hust. Quote, "you spotted inaccurate information on both our website and phone line. I have fixed the travel ban info based on a misunderstanding of the New York State on pause regulations. I will shortly be following up with our team to get the phone message changed. I don't have direct access to it," unquote, Host wrote. Quote, "these were honest mistakes made in a rush of getting constantly evolving information to people," unquote. "Honestly, we can relate." In Columbia County, there are now 22 cases confirmed. That's 4 per 10,000 residents. The county health department announced a death from COVID-19. The individual was elderly and other health issues contributed to their death. It was not clear if the announcement was referring to a man who died from suspected COVID-19 on March 23rd or if it was the county's second death. 4 people are hospitalized with the virus, according to Columbia County officials. In Delaware County, there are 8 cases confirmed. That's 2 per 10,000 residents. Delaware County announced a new case March 28th, bringing its total then to 7. In its daily announcements, Delaware County is not including 3 cases that were, quote, "transferred to the county where the individuals are actually residing," unquote. On March 27th, Delaware County announced that the first case in the county, which was reported on March 12th, has recovered and is no longer isolated. Many COVID-19 patients in New Rochelle who were sickened early in the outbreak have since recovered and have been unable until March 28th to be cleared for release from isolation because they could not meet a requirement for testing-based clearance. Asked by an email how Delaware County was determining when patients should be released, Public Health Services Director Amanda Walsh said that the county was relying on State Department of Health advice that recommends counties use the CDC's non-test-based strategy guidance, unquote, which requires at least 3 days since resolution of fever without use of fever-reducing medication, improvement in respiratory symptoms, and at least 7 days since the onset of symptoms. Quote, "we are waiting for updated guidance from New York State Department of Health on release from isolation if they are limited or no availability to retest," unquote, Walsh wrote. In Greene County, there are now 7 cases confirmed. That is 1 case per 10,000 residents. Greene County Public Health Department has cleared 3 people who tested positive for COVID-19 and given them discharge status. They did not define what that meant. Schoharie County has 5 cases confirmed, 2 per 10,000 residents. The Schoharie County Department of Public Health is not tolerating any gossip on its Facebook page about whether the county's 5 cases are due to panic flights from New York City. Quote, "a side note, the 5 cases that we have are not a direct result of people from the city coming into the region in an attempt to escape the outbreak in the New York City metro region. Please refrain from negative speculation of that kind, unquote, read a March 28th post announcing the county's two new cases. Quote, P.S., I will be deleting that kind of negativity, unquote. This has been the Daily Coronavirus Report for the Catskills and the Hudson Valley. From Melissa Harris of The River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of The Other Hudson Valley, go to therivernewsroom.com or theotherhudsonvalley.com for more information. This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC weather from the National Weather Service in Albany. They predict Sunday should be sunny with a high of just 38, then increasing clouds Sunday night with a low around 23. Snow is likely on Monday before 2 p.m., then it should turn to rain with a high near 36. 1 to 3 inches is possible. Rain and snow is also in the forecast Monday night with an 80% chance and a forecast low of around 30. Tuesday should be partly sunny with a high near 48 and a low around 31. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. WGXC is trying to show you how you can help during the COVID-19 crisis locally and the outbreak. WGXC could use more reporters to gather information about local ways that people can help, ways that people can volunteer to help kids that need food or help seniors and shut-ins. Claverack Library will be collecting food items for the Mellonville Philmont Food Pantry at the 9H entrance. You can place food in the blue bucket by the door or drop off food at the Mellonville Philmont Food Pantry. They are looking for applesauce, canned beans, whole grain cereal, canned fish, canned meat, canned vegetables, pasta sauce, crackers, dried herbs and spices, fruit canned and dried, granola bars, instant mashed potatoes, meals in a box, pancake mix, pasta, peanut butter, rice, shelf-stable and powdered milk, and soup, stew, and chili. Go to the Claverack Library's website or the Mellonville Philmont Food Pantry for more information. This has been How You Can Help. Tune in to WGXC 90.7 to hear how you can help during the COVID-19 crisis.
If only it was so simple. Oh, only water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Oh, only water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Only water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Only water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Only water and the booboo and the willy that lono. Only water and the booboo and the willy.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I am a student of MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I go to school at Leibri, and I live in Elizaville.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yay!
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookishly.
All that good stuff. And today is our first virtual meeting.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay. I'm not sure whether or not I'm excited about it.
I've ever been to, actually. Well, like, it's the first meeting, but like, I've talked to my friends before.
It's just weird. We can all say that
it's just a bit new.
Yeah,
new and a little weird.
So how are you all feeling about what's going on in the world?
Meh. At least I get more time to talk with my family.
Yeah,
that's the good
thing. It's a bit weird to have to do schoolwork from home, but
yeah.
And also, but we also got a lot more time to read. I have a lot more free time.
Oh, yeah.
So do we all have any books that we've been reading over this sudden break from school?
Me.
You want to go first, AJ?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's this book. It's Perfectly Normal. And it's about changing bodies, growing up, sex, and sexual health. Hmm. Not exactly a choice book, but I just like going. I just like reading about it. I will not show the pictures. Don't worry.
It's just those are one of those books that your parents have definitely forced you or tried to get you to read at some point. I've never read any of them that my parents have given me.
Well, you should start with this series because
okay.
Well, there are some pictures, but it doesn't show every little solitary detail. Plus, it just gives you the overall, not like every detail.
Okay.
Want to have like these big books of it?
Yeah.
Are you learning some good stuff?
Sort of. Ish, maybe. Because some of that I read over and over and over and over. So I'm not exactly learning new stuff. Because I think I've read this book about 1, 2, 1,000, 2,000, 5 million, 10 million, 1 billion.
I don't know if I have any of those kinds of books from when I was like small, but I don't know. I'd have to look pretty hard for them if I had any of them.
I had one growing up. I forget what it was called, but it was all, you know, about puberty and sexuality and like talking about like where babies come from and like stuff like that. And it had these little cartoon images that were so funny that I just loved looking at the pictures when I was a kid.
The picture. Those pictures in those books are always hilarious.
I have very vivid memories of all the pictures.
I'm reading a much more depressing book than that. I'm still reading The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Okay.
It's still required reading. I've like slowed down reading it and like have looked into other books because I really have no idea when I'm supposed to finish it now since everything has been thrown out of whack, but I'm still reading it. I'm about halfway through it and it's pretty good. It is a biography written by Heather Morris about a Jew in Auschwitz named Lael who gets the job of the tattooist who puts the numbers on the prisoners' wrists. And so it is a real story and it's pretty depressing, but it's very well written.
Was the character before she had that role at Auschwitz, was she a tattooist before?
It's a male character. It pretty much tells the story straight from when he's loaded on the transport to when he shows up at Auschwitz. And very soon after that, he becomes the tattooist's assistant. And then that tattooist disappears and is most likely killed. So he becomes the head tattooist and gets his own assistant.
Well, not exactly one of my favorite ideas of careers, but...
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. I'm only halfway through it. It's a true story, and it's depressing to read, but it's well-written, so that, like, I don't know how to describe it. You know, it's not a book you'd read for fun, but it's a book you'd read to, like, have an experience. Of course, now I get to take more breaks from that, which is nice, because I don't feel like being sad all the time. So I've started reading a book that I've actually read before. This book has such an interesting story behind it. There is a YouTuber named Mr. Creepypasta who does story narrations on YouTube a lot. And a couple years ago, he managed to get his own book published with a bunch of his favorite stories that he's narrated in that book from multiple different authors, online authors who write under, you know, pen names and publish their work directly to the internet. And he made a printed book called The Creepypasta Collection, Modern Urban Legends You Can't Unread. I've got my dad to start reading it finally because I really wanted him to see some of them. And I've been reading a few of my favorite stories in it just for fun. But yeah, I believe he has a second book out and I have it, but I have not yet read it, a second collection out. But that's what I'm reading in between sessions of The Tattooist of Auschwitz. I'm reading The Creepypasta Collection.
Nice break from the serious material.
Yeah, I love horror. So yeah, for me, it definitely is a break. I know for not everyone would like to immediately jump into horror, but I love it. And I have like quite a few favorite stories from it.
What's your favorite story about?
Oh, my favorite story. I think my favorite story in the book is called The Horror from the Vault. It's written in a format of a bunch of emails and interviews between people, kind of like Dracula. And I love stories that are written in like little segments like that. So you have to kind of like piece together what's going on. So you got this story about a couple archaeologists who dig up a vault and a sarcophagus in the vault. So they take it back, they do testing on it. It doesn't match any metal in real life. And then it switches perspectives to a police interview where the police is talking about finding their lab in ruin, not finding any of the scientists alive. The sarcophagus is like destroyed. Something's broken out of it. And it goes on from then to figure out like what this thing is that's broken out of the sarcophagus and is now terrorizing this little town that they're in. So I love it because of the way it's written. I love it because of stuff that happens in it. I think it's legitimately creepy.
That's interesting.
I love it very much.
How about you, Lena? Have you been reading anything or what have you been enjoying?
I haven't read anything because I've actually gotten myself into this new series. It's not even from Netflix or Hulu. It's from YouTube, and it's good.
What's it called?
My Inner Demons, made by Aphmau. It's one of those cringy series.
I know what she's talking about. A lot of YouTubers like to make their own little series of, like, almost like rom-coms or reality TV shows. And they're a lot of fun. I watch them sometimes when I, like, draw or something.
Yeah.
I've been actually spending a lot of my time listening to YouTube narrations rather than actually really reading, because I have recently had to do artwork at home and then upload it for my college drawing class. So when I don't have time to read something myself, I will listen to a narration of a short story, usually, once again, horror. And I will draw while doing that, because obviously I can't read and draw at the same time. It's unfortunate, but my two favorite hobbies I cannot do at the same time for that ultimate favorite hobby. Yeah. So instead I listen to things. I have gotten into actually my own YouTube series as well. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm working on my next YouTube video.
Oh yeah, you're making one?
I think I'm actually subscribed to your channel, but I can't remember if I am or not. I'll have to check later.
Yeah, but, like, it's going, like, my channel, when I look back at my videos, like, when I watch it, like, if I posted it, like, 1 second ago, I'm like, oh, God, this is cringy. This is good for my channel.
You're always your own, like, harshest critic. I know I don't like any of the videos that I posted or artwork that I posted on my YouTube channel. As for why it's always horror, it's because it's my favorite genre. It's always been my favorite genre of story. It's my favorite genre to write in creative writing.
Why do you choose horror against the others? Is this because that you like just, like, scaring yourself?
Because I've watched and read so much horror, I think it's more of, like, an obsession now to where I want to find something that will really scare me. There is one series that I've always gone back to, which is another internet story series, and usually it's the internet series nowadays rather than professionally made movies or published books that actually do manage to scare me, because while movies have a rating system and books have to appeal to publishers, something that someone publishes on the internet really has no filter and no censorship to the point where they can do whatever they want. So the one thing that I have, like, come back to over and over again and has never failed to scare me is a series called Cabin in the Woods, which is narrated by a YouTuber called Bebusta, which was originally published on Reddit, actually. It's a 7-part series. It's pretty long, but if you have nothing to do, you can probably blast through it real quick. It's about a man. It's narrated from a man's perspective, and his wife's family owns a cabin in the woods that they spend some nights at. And when they come back to their home, they find out that something may have followed them from the cabin, a spirit or something. So, one, I'm usually not scared by paranormal stuff in that genre. I prefer, like, true crime or, like, body horror kind of things. But this is a paranormal horror story, and it actually manages to scare me, which is why I keep coming back to it. It has a good buildup. It actually concludes, which is something that you don't always get with something published on the internet, because unfortunately, if the author gets bored, it's very easy to just abandon their story and then you never get a conclusion. But this one actually has a solid ending and actually a couple false endings in there. So you're always engaged. You're always into it. It was very good. And I always listen to it when I can't find anything else to listen to.
Well, at least you have something to do over this break, because I know, like, a lot of people in the city who are in very, very, very small apartments.
Oh, yeah, people in the city can't go out, like, at all.
And even if they do try and get it delivered to them, it's like, and even mom now, she has to leave the cardboard out for, like, 7 hours, and then she wears gloves and a mask, and then she scrubs it over and over.
Yeah, a lot of people are becoming very scared.
And then she scrubs it again and again and again and again until I think that this cardboard's going to wear away and then there's going to be nothing. And then she wears away the packages itself.
You gotta be careful.
Once I was afraid that mom was going to scrub all the pages of my book that was going to be delivered, because I was like, water, paper, no go.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about the stuff inside the packages, but you should at least, like, probably wash your hands after taking packages from outside, especially in New York City, where I think it's, like, pretty bad. I mean, everyone is together, obviously. Everyone, I think, in there can't really go anywhere because we live in, like, a small, like, kind of spread out neighborhood. Me and my mom can, like, take walks every so often, which is really nice because mentally I think everyone needs to, like, actually get out every once in a while. Just be careful about it. But yeah, it must be really hard for people who live in, like, apartment buildings and, like, small areas. It's probably really rough. I know the school is, like, giving out free meals still for people who rely on that, and that's nice that they do that for people. But yeah.
Even though some people, like one of my friends from sixth grade in New York City, Mara, she has a garden in the back of her area, but then there's someone else has like a balcony right above it, I think, and a balcony below, so she still has to be really careful.
Yeah, you should wash anything that like comes out of your garden anyway. I was never able to get a garden to grow. It's never something I've succeeded at.
Well, I'm not the type for gardening, and besides, everyone in the city is going to Central Park because it's so big, but the problem is almost the rest of New York City is thinking that, so they all go to one huge place, and it is packed with people, so everyone's going to Central Park. I think it's safer to stay in your home than go to Central Park.
Yeah, the whole point of the social distancing thing is to stay indoors, but yeah. It's rough sometimes. It's kind of like, it's hard to stay away from everyone. But you do get to read books when you stay away from everyone. So that's part of the fun, I guess.
And the reason why we're here.
Yeah. Does anyone else have any books to talk about? Ah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. The love of my life. Yes.
Which one?
This Bone. Week. Yeah, which number is it, actually?
Crown of Thorns.
Is that the 10th one?
Which is the 9th book.
I only have the first one. I want to read all the rest, but I don't care if I skip around a bit. I just like looking at the pictures, not really the storyline as much.
Yeah.
I love the pictures and the storyline, but I've been reading it really slowly, and I've really been reading it occasionally, like maybe a couple books a year. And so I finally finished it. There are some other books in the Bone universe, but this is the end of the like main storyline. So I think there's another one that takes, that's maybe a, I can't remember if it's a sequel or a prequel. And then there's like Bone Tale of the Spark or something like that.
I had no idea they had extra books.
Is there one where they are in Boneville?
I don't know.
Like a prequel? I don't think so. Had no idea there were even extra books. I had no idea.
For those listening who haven't heard of it before, it's the Bone series by Jeff Smith. And I would say it's geared towards middle grade or teenagers. And it's the story of some characters known as Bones. They're bone characters. They're these little, you should just look up a picture of them, but they look like kind of like skeleton-y, but not skeletons. They're just like...
They look like comic strip characters almost, like what you'd see in a newspaper.
They're just like these white shapes that have faces and hands and things. And so there's three bones, Bone Bone, Phony Bone, and Smiley Bone, and they're cousins, and they've been kicked out of Boneville at the start of the series because Bone is always getting them into trouble. And so they are off like making their way outside of Boneville, and then they get separated. And that starts an adventure where our main character is Phone Bone, and he meets some human characters, and you meet some other animal characters in the forest, and some fantastical characters along the way. There's dragons and rat creatures.
There are dragons. There are dragons in this book. I remember that vividly.
I'm a big fan of the rat creatures, personally.
Oh, I love the rat creatures, too.
I don't... They're not my favorite, but... They're not my least favorite thing, but
they're so cute.
It. But not
so cute.
Also,
I just gave JJ a picture, if anyone's wondering.
But also, what was that cloak thing at the end of the first book? Like the cloak thing was talking to.
I'm not gonna spoil that.
Phony Bone.
But there's some.
I need to reread these because I don't actually remember the cloak thing.
Yeah, I don't remember for sure, but there is at least one cloaked character in the book that's a bit of a creepy villain character. It might be that one. But it's a fun mix of, like, sometimes it's really funny and silly, and then sometimes it's really intense and scary, or dramatic at least. And I love the artwork. It's like this weird mix of cartoony and more realistic. And it's very fun. So I finally finished it. And next up, my next graphic novel is going to be Ghosts, because Lena's been suggesting it for a year. So I figured I should finally read it. Oh, I have something I can tell you all about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So with a lot of people